It was a week ago that a thug with a gun killed five people in Aurora. He never should have had the gun. And what's the loophole that he was able to fall through to make this happen? Sheriff Tom Dart joins us. Look, I salute you for trying to get guys with guns away from their guns and keep guns away from people that shouldn't have them. And that's work that continues every day. But do you have any sense, Tom Dart, on how this happened?
You know, Steve, it's one thing to say that there's a broken system. There's another thing to say there's no system at all. And I mean, let me explain to you the insanity of this system here, Steve. So to have a firearm, you need a FOID card. Yep. You apply to the state police to get your FOID card. There's things that you can do that get that revoked. Commit a crime, have a mental illness, things along those lines. Then it's revoked. The system that's in existence only speaks to the card. So think about this, Steve. It's as if we collectively as a society said, that individual cannot be around cards. Get the FOID card, get his credit card, get his library card, get all his cards. The system literally only goes after the card. It doesn't speak to the guns.
Wait, is that stupid law, or is that lobbying by gun makers?
Lobbying. Trust me, 4 or 5 years ago, I was down in Springfield on this very issue saying, listen, this is absurd, guys. That what we're trying to get at is get the guns away from people. We could care less about a physical card.
Right.
We need the guns. And when I tried to put some teeth in the law, they wanted nothing to do with it, absolutely nothing. And so it's one of those scenarios where on my own, 5 years ago, I put my own gun unit together that goes to people's houses. So I get the list of who's revoked. All I'm supposed to do is get cards. I go to the house cards, but I'm also getting guns as well. I can't kick in the door or anything like that, but when I go and talk to people and explain to them, you no longer can have guns. I've gotten about 1,000 guns turned over to me as a result of that. I attempted to get the law changed so that I can get into the house to get the guns, and the best I was able to do was get the authorization to get a search warrant. But think about this, you know, Pat, get this one quickly. You need probable cause for a search warrant. And only evidence I have is he has a revoked card. I don't know if he bought any guns or anything. And so the law had no teeth. And it just goes at Steve. This was not by accident. This isn't something where people said, oh, my God, that is an absurd system, Tom. That was by design.
And Pat Brady, this is where Democrats can't sit back and take the high road here because Democrats control the politics of the state. Why is that even remotely a deal in the state?
The gun lobby very strong in Springfield, as Tom just mentioned. But you have some new law proposed, right?
I have, Pat, but as you know, Steve was saying, you know, this has been a bipartisan disaster. So, you know, it has a lot to do with, you know, the NRA and rural versus urban. And so we have law that's going to, the goal, here's the other thing. So when you go to a gun shop to buy a gun or from some other gun transactions, not all of them though, but you have to go into the system that the gun dealer calls the state police and runs my name to make sure I'm okay to have a gun. So the system, the state, has a list of all the inquiries for me trying to get a gun. The bill that I have that we're putting down in Springfield is to let, when someone's revoked, to let us get access to the information about how many times has he inquired about buying a gun, so that when one of my folks go to the door, they know whether or not this guy has tried to buy one gun or he's tried to buy 1,000 guns.
Right.
And so it's going to give people a greater sense of safety, because when you're going to the door, Steve, we've been doing this, as I said, for about 5 or 6 years. The stories I could tell you would make your head spin.
Sure.
I've had parents come to us and say, thank God you showed up here. We love our daughter to death, but she has an illness, and they revoked her card, but she still had all the guns. And they're literally, here, take the guns. Get them out of this house. Please help us. And so we would like to have information when we go to the door that, you know what, this guy had inquired 100 times for guns. We better be a little bit more on our toes about this one.
But it's got to be an impossible position for you if the system is dependent upon honesty of the people with guns or even with families of people with guns.
Exactly. This is like, can you imagine this? This is the honor system when it comes to getting guns away from somebody who has maybe an illness or criminal conviction. What do you think their mindset is?
Right.
Yeah, you know what? I'll help these guys. Oh, why not? Let's be straightforward. Of course people are going to say, oh, no, no, no. I gave my guns to my uncle. He's holding all of my guns. mean, this is truly by design an insanely inept system. And now everyone's running around with their usual thoughts and prayers stuff instead of sitting there saying, okay, this could have and should have been stopped, and let's do it. And if that means we're going to have to give a little bit more information to law enforcement, we're going to do it.
Sheriff Dart, there seems to be a divide when it comes to law enforcement and the gun lobby, and you would think that wouldn't be the case, that those two entities would be on the same page and they would be the ones that are advocating for the right kind of legislation. Why is there a divide between those?
You know what, honest to God, that's a great question, because the reality of it is, and I've seen it played out numerous times, it's a regional divide. There's a whole different mindset up north than there is down south, just within my own sheriff association. Great people, but we disagree on gun-related policy almost all the time. I mean, literally, it's me, and then there's, 90-some other sheriffs that are opposed to what I'm up to. So it's almost always regional.
Sheriff, just to wrap my head around how many things we're talking about when you guys go to this house, of all the people that have FOID cards, here, how many get revoked and do you have to go get them from them?
Is there a percentage?
Well, we as I say, Steve, we set this unit up on our own 5 years ago, and I'm not whining. We make things work, but did we get any revenue or resources to do it? No, we just knew this is a priority, so we made it work. My only point was I didn't have people sitting around with nothing to do, so it's a large list of revocations, and so we go and get as many as we can, and like in 2013, we got just about 300, and 20, basically we're averaging about 300 a year.
That's like one a day.
Last year we had just under 500 that we went to. But are there many more out there? Yeah, there's hundreds more. And my strongest understanding, just so we're clear, my strongest understanding is we're the only county, or there might be one or two others, but we're the only ones that are doing this. So all around the state, as you've seen, these poor folks in Aurora and the law enforcement agency there, this was never a system that was systematically set up to work well. So, people don't even know, did they even get notice that this guy was revoked?
Right, and they're still trying to figure out that end of it as well. I thought the police department would stand up about the whole thing, along with risking their own lives to shut that guy down. I want to ask you and Pat a question before we run out of time here. Pat, the politics of Springfield inside out in D.C. as well, and Tom Dart, you served in the legislature. I personally don't discount somebody for taking money to run for office from a legitimate organization. Where I draw the line is when you know that legitimate organization is wrong and you hide because you want more money from them. I think the public generally doesn't understand this piece, and why would they? Politicians don't sign contracts with the NRA. These are verbal agreements. And handshakes and just winks and nods of understanding that the NRA sends me money and therefore I'm never going to say anything bad about the NRA. Is that an overstatement or is that true?
No, I mean, Steve, at the heart of it, there are definitely sincere people who truly believe, with or without the NRA, that guns are an inherently good thing that we should have. It's embedded in our Constitution, apparently, somewhere, and they feel that way. Then are there others that, they're either terrified of the NRA because they're in a district where they have influence, or there's some that are terrified of the money that could come in as a result of it? Oh, God, yes. And that comes down to just the simplest thing. People down there and in other legislative bodies just have to be really, really okay with losing an election. That, I stood up for something, and I'm not there anymore. Just like when, Pat stood up in his own party, and, he's not the chairman of it anymore, but your head is up higher, and you feel really good about yourself, but that's not the norm, unfortunately.
Well, and that's what character's all about, and Pat Brady, I think when you were on the air with me, after as head of the Republican Party in Illinois, saying we are behind the eight ball here, we're not going to stand up and say two people that love each other can't get married because they're gay. It's ridiculous. The phone call started to drub you out of the leadership position. Why don't we have, because it's character, why don't we have more politicians who are willing to say, if I lose the election, I lose the election?
I think we do, and I think Tom's a great example of it on a lot of positions he's taken. But the reality is you get to these positions, you like being there, and you want to win the election. There's pressure from the party. There's pressure from others.
I just don't understand. Look, it's not an idealistic viewpoint. I don't know how I'd get up the next day and look in the mirror. I don't.
I've never understood that, Steve, to be quite frank with you. I've never understood that. I would so much rather lose an election on many, many levels. And I just don't get it. That's not even being noble. That's just like, okay, well, you know, you win some, you lose some. But you stand for something.
Right.
Hey,
right.
Tom, as former Republican Party chairman, I can teach you how to lose elections if you need.
Hey, I lost it too, but.
Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart, I appreciate the time.
Thank you guys so much.
See you. Thanks,
Take
Tom.
Care.